Three Peeps in a Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 104 of Three Peeps in a Podcast. Got myself, Patch, in the kitchen in Emerson's Green, Bristol. And we've got Rich, I believe you're in your car in Bars Court. How are you getting on with that?
Yeah, I've been ready to get to the car because there's cooking going on in my kitchen. So I've been booted out. At least it's warm. I'm quite warm in my little car. So, I'm happy as Larry, to be honest.
Well, yeah, I've worked from the car a few times in the last few weeks. It's a place where no one can get to you, and you can lock the door and, you know, you're in a happy place.
Well, as long as the police don't sweep on me, think I'm going somewhere, but I'm all right.
Just have a shopping list ready. I'm joined on the phone today by Ian. Ian appeared on episode 94 from Longwell Records in Keynsham. Ian, how you doing, mate?
How you doing, lads? You all right? All good?
Yeah, hi, Ian.
All right. Yeah, not too...
Yeah.
So you've obviously shut the shop down and you're on lockdown. How are you diversifying the business, mate?
Yeah, no, we closed the day before they said you had to. Well, no, actually 3 days before he said you had to. Although we were still doing really good business, I just didn't want to do it anymore. Do you know what I mean? Because of all the Corona stuff and whatnot, it just made it all a bit complicated. And it's been pretty quiet, to be honest, doing a bit online, but hoping to get this grant and you know, fingers crossed, it'll be all right. But I think it's about the next 12 months rather than the next 3 months.
Yeah, longevity of it, I guess. Before lockdown, you had a few guests come through. I saw Justin Lee Collins and Joe Sims, some of the previous guests we've had. Any others?
Oh, I can't remember now. I tell you what, we have a lot of weirdos. I tell you, we have a lot of strange fellows come in that shop. I had this one bloke turn up. He had a rainbow, funnily enough, drawn on his forehead, and he came in the shop and he was talking to me as if he knew me all my life. All right. And you know, I don't mind stuff like that normally, and he was ever such a strange character. He didn't even ask about any of the records. All he said, oh, I heard you've gone talking on the radio or something. Maybe it was this, maybe it was on about the podcast you did,
right?
And then he said, well, nice to meet you. He said I'll see you again. Off he went. I thought, crikey, a bit odd.
Who was that?
But say again. I don't know. He didn't say his name. It's probably for good reason he didn't tell me his name, so I didn't ring the old bell. But no, we had, of course, we had Joe Sims turn up. He's your mate, isn't he? You've done him. And I can't think of who else. Man. We had a few sort of music acts as well since I spoke to you last. Been brilliant. We had some great bands, some great vibes going.
Ian, I love the fact you've been entertaining the country with your Keep Up Is in the back garden by a trampoline. I've been watching all those. I've been very entertaining.
Have you? Well, I'll tell you what, Rich. I used to be quite good at Keep Up Is, but the ball I'm using now has been chewed to death by Freedom by Jack Russell. And also, I've got to be careful not to overshoot and smash it over the neighbour's garden, because you might not see it again. That could be it for lockdown then, isn't it? No football.
Or also be careful you don't start using the dog for Keep Up Is, because it's little and white. It's been close.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying that. I want to see some of yours now.
Well, I can roll back the ears. I'll see what I can do. Better stretch some hamstrings first.
Ian, you did allude to the fact you had a few people come through, and one of them being Martin Mucklow from North Leech. And we've actually got Martin on the line. Martin, come in.
All right.
Martin.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us. Yeah, Martin, you came along to Keynsham and to Longwell Records. What brought you to Keynsham from North Leech? Bit of a trek, isn't it?
Yeah, I was just following this North Star, and it kind of led me there, which is odd.
Right, okay. So, Martin, tell us a bit more about yourself. What do you do for work?
Well, I was in the Hoover distribution business, but it kind of went a bit tits up, really, to be honest with you. And I had to make a bit of a holiday, 2.5 years.
Okay.
Under Her Majesty's supervision, and I'm just out now, so I'm going to diversify into something else.
Right. Okay. So not much work on at the moment, then.
Well, no, not a lot, because I'm stuck in here, aren't I? You know.
Yeah.
It's a pandemic situation, you know.
Yeah. No. It is a situation we're all going through. It's a leveler, as they say. I've heard you go on about the Keepers. Is that your local pub? And presumably they're still open during lockdown, are they? Or?
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course they're open. Yeah. They're always open 24/7, whatever. Second World War, Blitz. Not that there was a lot of Blitz in the North Leech, but
yeah.
I'm down there. I was down there tonight, you know, and I'll go back later on. They'll close about 5 o'clock in the morning, something like that, when I'm pissed up.
Yeah, well, so someone usually
drag me out by my, you know.
Yeah, someone
gets ankles, as they normally do. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the North Beach life. Yeah,
someone gets the shots in around midnight, don't they?
The shots. Oh, shots. Yeah. Shots. Bazookas, you name it. It's firing range and drink shots. As well.
Shots of hand sanitizer, I should imagine.
It's like the old Wild West, basically.
Yeah.
Without the saloon doors, because we've ripped them off. So you know.
Right. What's your actual drink in the Keepers, Martin?
Normally just the whole of the top shelf or bottom shelf if I'm feeling, you know, on bank holidays. You know.
Okay, all right. Have you ever been barred from the Keepers? Because I imagine that the amount you're drinking in there, you must get into a few scuffles.
Yeah, but you know, I'm normally spending an awful lot behind that bar. I the only time I did get banned, and I pointed out it was legit, is when I won $50,000 on the Fruity. So
crikey, that must have taken you a while to get that pumped out.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, about a week.
So I've also heard about this woman, whatever you want to call her, called Mandy, who lives round your way. Have you ever had any altercations with her, sort of sexual or non-sexual? Just wondering.
Oh, God, heavens forbid. No, not sexual, no. Good God, no. She's the only one in the village I am shagged, I think.
Well, that's something to aim for after that.
We've got a lot of respect for each other, me and Mandy. And when we had the bunch of crazies coming in from South Cerny, we were at the entrance to North Leech, and we saw them off. So we rule that village with a, you know, iron fist, basically.
And if you did come to blows, non-sexually, who would win?
Definitely non-sexually.
Who do you think would win in a fight between you and Mandy?
Well, I think if I had a baseball bat in my hand at the time, I might win. But Mandy, she's nuts, so she doesn't know when to stop. So I reckon it will be score draw, probably.
Okay.
Of course, she got Tyson as well, though, ain't she?
Yeah, but he's a prick. So yeah.
In your sort of spare time, Martin, what sort of hobbies have you got? I've heard you're into your flight simulators. I just wondered what's the longest flight you've ever done in a real time simulation.
I think it was 3 weeks, and that was to Jupiter.
Jesus.
Yeah, got a bit hot and hairy at one stage. But
yeah, no, not surprised.
That's not bad for a sop with camel as well, going up there.
Yeah, well, exactly. Any other interests?
Shagging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about it. That's about it, isn't it?
Martin.
Yeah,
hello. I was wondering, like, what's the best cake you've eaten at work on a Tuesday? What was the pinnacle of cakes that was brought in for you to sample?
Dan one day made a lemon drizzle, rich, and I tell you what, it's the only time I've ever wept.
It was
like a symphony.
Was the drizzle homemade?
Oh God, yeah. I wouldn't weep over a bloody shop bought. Yeah, it was perfection. Just some days, just whatever you tweak something and just.
But you made him sample the drizzle first, did you, before you tucked in?
Yeah, just in case he poisoned it, because I do owe him a bit of money.
So, Martin, just a final thing. Your daughter Kerry and her cousin Curtin
was my daughter Kerry.
Yeah, who you know very.
She dobbed me in. Yeah, dobbed me in the buddy Bill. Oh, Bill. So yeah.
Yeah, still classified as a daughter in blood.
Well, I guess so. Yeah.
But they were really upset. I don't know if you know. They were really upset about their best mate, the vicar, moving down to Bristol, which is where we're based. Are you a bit worried for the vicar moving down to Bristol?
He won't last about 5 minutes. That bloke, absolute wet blanking. Is yeah, absolute
brilliant.
Well, he's a bell end, to be perfectly honest. You know, he's armless bell end, but he's a bell end nonetheless. He won't survive a minute. I'll tell you what, he won't even survive the Women's Institute down your place. We'll have him, let alone the thugs and the bandits. Prostitutes.
Well, Martin, if you're ever down in Bristol to visit him, then do look.
Well, that's going to happen, isn't it? Yeah. Bristol. I once went down there and I took it single-handed. So they've got a lot of they're angry about me. So I don't think I'll be back.
All right. Well, Martin, thanks very much for joining us.
All right.
We'll see you soon. We've also got another guest coming through, and that is Paul Cooper. Paul, how you doing?
Hi. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks. Yeah, thank you.
Just had a chap on called Martin. Sounded a lot like you, but yeah.
Did he? Right.
Yeah, okay. Maybe you should meet him one day. That'd be an interesting chat. But no, Paul Martin, thanks very much for doing a bit of Martin for us, Paul. That was superb. It was great.
Martin, can I ask Martin one thing? Sorry, before he goes.
He's gone now, really.
Sorry.
Martin's gone.
Keep grabbing him back, mate. I just wonder if you can say hello to my two daughters, Lucy and Cara, because they're a massive fan of his. And Cara's here. Yeah, Lucy and Cara.
Hi, Lucy. Hi, Cara. How are you doing? All right there. Hi there.
Just a big fan of the show.
Is that your dad or you?
They won't be putting a voice on that as little Cara, but she's going to just say a quick Cara. Hello to Martin. Cara. Say hello to Martin.
Hi, Martin Mucklow.
Hi, Cara. How you doing? Cara Brown. How you doing?
I'm good.
Well, I'm glad about that.
Right. Let's let Martin go now because you'll go to the keepers because they're shouting for him. Oh, thanks, Martin. Thanks a lot for that, mate.
Yeah, no worries, Rich.
Right, cool. So Paul Cooper is now back.
I am.
Paul.
Back in a room.
I am.
Thanks for joining. Paul, just I met you 3 or 4 weeks ago in the last ever football match that we're likely to go to for some
for century. Time.
And it was quite a good send-off, really, because we were both in hospitality with drink and food, and the game wasn't actually that bad either. So it was a good game to sort of finish on.
Yeah, the result didn't really matter in the end, did it? Yeah, absolutely.
No, did you enjoy the hospitality there?
Oh, yes, superb, yeah. And Joe's, you know, great guy. Joe Simmons, yeah. he's a legend. So, yeah, had a brilliant time. We were treated so well. You know, brilliant. And Charlie as well, with Charlie. Yeah, hospitality was great. The people were brilliant and gave us such a warm welcome. Yeah, it was superb.
Mm. And you're for those who don't know, you're a Fulham fan. And Charlie was trying to explain why you were Fulham fans. And do you want to just explain yourself what the connection is?
Yeah, Charlie wanted to go up there. That was about 17 years ago, something like that. And we went up to, it was a night game, FA Cup against Watford, and just fell in love with the place, you know, just by the river, and just the supporters are really friendly and nice. We just superb, really. So we've just kind of loved, you know, just the setting, and it's just a nice, gentle kind of club, you know, very much a family club. And just fell in love with the place, really.
It is one of the best away days.
Yeah.
It's a great place to go.
Super.
Our favourite away trip, Rich, isn't it?
Oh, it's quality.
Well, you get 3 points every time you come down.
We've been very successful the last few years. But yeah, the whole, obviously, it's a day, like you say, by the river, a nice little walk for the park to get there in the first place.
Yeah, yeah.
A little drink in Putney beforehand. So yeah, it's a lovely place to go. So hopefully you'll never get promoted.
Yeah, well, yeah. I wouldn't mind that. I didn't enjoy the year in the Premiership. It was awful. So,
That's true.
I didn't really want to go up. I didn't really want to go up this season. Really, I don't think many Fulham fans are just thinking, oh, if we finish third and we don't go up, that's absolutely fine, you know.
Yeah, I think a lot of City fans are like that. I'm as well. I think Championships are a division, really, because every game's competitive. You're not kind of hoping not to lose 8-0 every week. So I don't mind not going up.
No, it's a brilliant, brilliant league. Yeah, it's a brilliant league, and everyone can beat each other on the day. You know, the grounds are good. You know, it's not as expensive, and it's just a bit more kind of real. It's just like kind of proper football rather than kind of. And there's not, you know, in the Premiership, if you finish in the top 10, it's, you know, an amazing achievement. So that's so boring, you know.
But most games are usually Saturday at 3 o'clock rather than a Monday night or a Sunday afternoon. So yeah, Championship's the way forward, I think.
Yeah, it's much more honest, I think.
Like, yeah,
more honest,
definitely.
Football.
And have you got a season ticket there, Paul?
Yes, we have. Yeah, we've both got season tickets. Yeah.
Right. And how you're looking after our Bristol-born Joe Bryan at the moment?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, yeah.
And Bobby Reid.
He's done all right. Yeah, yeah. Joe's taken a while to kind of settle in, but he's starting to do well, get a lot of assists as well. You know, he was injured. Bobby Reid, he's been okay. He's been a bit anonymous in games, but he has come up with a few crucial goals. But I think, you know, it'll take a bit of a while for him to bed in properly.
I'll never forget that goal Joe scored against Man United, and it was Man United,
yeah,
wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
It was that was such an amazing game, and I couldn't believe it when he left. I was so upset because he'd obviously been with the club since he was a kid, wouldn't it? Mm. And I think he's going to get better and better. I think
it was a Premier League move at the time, and he has to sort of chase that. And I'm sure he would. He's a City fan at heart, so you know, he's the away end at some London games and things like that. So hopefully one day they'll come back.
Can I just ask, Paul, when you first started going out there about 17 years ago, who was the main man? Was it Brian McBride and all that?
Yeah, Brian McBride, yeah. He's great. It was under Chris Coleman, yeah.
That's it, yeah.
Blimey, was that 17 years ago? Jesus.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? But football was... I really loved football about 20 years ago. I've got to be honest. As you all know, I'm a big City fan now, but I do miss... The 90s and early 2000s sort of football sort of league, you know, that sort of era before we had loads of really amazing foreign players sort of on our shores, as it were. What do you guys
think? I remember the last time I watched a full episode of Match of the Day because it just doesn't interest me anymore, that kind of
football.
No, agreed. I don't watch it. No, no.
No, I agree. Totally.
Let's roll back the years even further, Paul. Where did you actually sort of grow up?
I grew up in Biddeford, North Devon.
Okay.
Till I was 14. Then I moved to Berkshire, between Reading and Newbury. And then I moved when Daisy was 4 weeks old. So 33 years ago, moved to Cirencester, which has been great, you know, which has been fantastic.
Really and do you actually live near or in North Leech?
No, I live in Cirencester. On the Chesterton Estate.
Okay. So, and that, how far away is
it? About 10 miles. Yeah, about 10 miles.
Okay, so it's not too far.
Yeah.
So what is your actual, what jobs have you had? What sort of careers have you had yourself?
I was generally in kind of sales, which I was absolutely rubbish at. And then I got made redundant, kind of, you know, had a real bad time, lost the house, everything.
Blimey.
So been renting ever since. So we're kind of on an estate, you know, two up, two down. I worked at a school for 4 years, the school where the kids were at, which is great, in the kind of inclusion centre. But then had to leave it just really because the money was so poor. So got back into recruitment, which I didn't enjoy and I wasn't very good at. The money was better, and 5 years ago I had a heart attack. And I thought, this job is wrong for me. So I wanted to have a kind of job working with people. And I started working with people who have hoarding behaviours, hoarders, which I really enjoy. Do quite a lot in Bristol, Bath, and Gloucestershire. So kind of working in their homes.
I've seen some TV programs along those lines about hoarders. I can't remember what
they were. Yeah, they're horrible. We were actually in a short BBC documentary back in February, which didn't kind of stigmatize the people with hoarding behaviors. But we also do training kind of round the UK kind of agencies, fire services, social services, charities, that kind of thing, housing associations.
So when you say hoarding behaviours, do you actually go in and try to explain to them that they shouldn't be hoarding, or what do you actually go in and do?
Well, the first thing is making it safe, really. About 6% of the population have hoarding behaviours, but 1 in 3 fire deaths are hoarders. So there's very much a fire implication. So we work quite a lot with the fire services. So it's about making it safe, making sure the stairs are clear. There's a pathway to the door. The emergency services could get someone out if there was a fire. And then it's just, it's really about empowering people to kind of help them and find out what they want to do in their homes.
Yeah.
But very often they're not sleeping in their beds, or the cooker's not working, the sink's blocked, toilet's blocked, so it's the house doesn't function as a house. But every single story is different, and there's usually some trigger behind it, some kind of trauma. So you need to be a bit of a detective to try and find out what that trauma is, and it's about filling a void. So say a husband dies, and the wife fills that void with stuff. That's really what it's about.
That must be quite rewarding. Must be quite a rewarding job.
Oh, it's amazing! Yeah, it's incredible. I've got people I've worked with who've been homeless for 4 years. They can't get in their house. That kind of thing. Right. So it's a big problem, and I think with the lockdown, we'll have huge amounts of hoarding, because people are doing it anyhow, but the trauma people will have been through, with loved ones dying, with domestic abuse, we're going to see it. And then obviously people are going to start hoarding just in case, because this may well happen again. So they'll want food and different stuff, so I think it's going to be quite, this is going to be a very traumatic. A lot of people are going to be very traumatized by what's happening now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we obviously have seen you in this country, and you are the father to Daisy and Charlie, who are the writers of this country. First of all, how proud must you be with how well it's gone the last 3 series?
Oh, it's been incredible. Yeah, absolutely. Superb. And also Len is my brother as well, the guy, Trevor Cooper, who plays Len, professional actor. Yeah, I mean, they've done extraordinarily well. I mean, Daisy, we knew from when she was about 2 that she'd be on the stage. There was absolutely no, so she's very much kind of natural. Charlie took a very, very different route. Daisy went to RADA, which he absolutely hated. But she went that kind of route, whereas Charlie, we thought it'd be the last thing he'd ever do. All he wanted to do was play football. But he went he really got involved because Daisy was at RADA and wanted to leave. Charlie was down in doing sports science at Exeter University, and after 2 years said, this isn't really for me. So we said, we had no money and whatever. So Daisy was crying on the phone every day. So he said, can you just go up and sleep on the floor in her room? But so they missed home there, and they had nothing, they couldn't go out and spend money. And they just started to kind of come up with ideas about different people and talk to each other. So the kind of germs, you know, the kind of the seeds were kind of sown really there for this country.
It's a great story. It's a great story. Someone's literally got an idea themselves and written themselves and started themselves. And it's just a great story of how to get famous, really, rather than things being written for you kind of thing. I mean, to do it off your own steam is brilliant.
So all the people, you know, exist. So Mandy lives on our estate and has got tattoos and has a big dog. She's much nicer than, and she's even called Mandy, you know. And Mr. Perkins is a teacher at the school where I worked and the kids went to, and he actually exists. Although he's a nice guy, the kids just chose it because it was a good name, but the school have completely ostracized them. So there's no, you know, they never mention to the kids or anything that they've been there, and which is a bit tight, really. But
yeah, it's a bit.
And you mentioned Len there, your brother. He has got an acting background. I've seen him in a few things, actually, since I've known him from this country. Is that where they took some of the inspiration from in terms of the acting game?
I think Daisy was always going to be, I mean, you know, he's been very helpful, but she was just going to be an act just from the start. You know, she didn't need any inspiration from out there. She was just, you know, you could just tell, you know, and her daughter's a bit like that already, Pip. So, you know,
seeing a few Instagram
videos. Yeah, they are two peas in a pod.
She's become, Buckbeak has become my queen of the lockdown.
Yeah. She's a character.
She's very, like very another, clever. Yeah. Going back to this country, obviously, you know, I'm really into it. And I just think it reminded me so much of The Office, which was very simply done, yet very clever as well. Do you know what I mean? It was the you didn't have to look very hard for the humour and the warmth and the nastiness as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because that's what's good about it. Is like you look at someone like Curtin, he's a right horrible little bastard, isn't he? Really?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think Martin, because it's a mockumentary, you don't have to kind of set the scene. You can just go straight in. Yeah. And yeah. I think also siblings writing together is good because you tell each other how it is. You know, you don't kind of think that wasn't really good, but you don't want to hurt their feet, you know. If you think it's crap, you tell them it's crap, you know. And
it's clever because it's not a punchline-based comedy, is it? It's not like a gag after gag after gag. It is a much cleverer comedy. Yeah.
There's the way lots of
people look at the cameras, things like that.
Quotable lines, and I think, how they come up with so many quotable lines, it's you know, it's just absolute kind of gems in there, you know. And
have you been bitten by the bug, Paul? Have you been bitten by the bug, the acting bug? Are you looking to pursue a career or not? Yeah.
Well, I'd love to. I'm appearing in a music video, which is going to be filmed in Bristol. Funny enough, but a Nottingham guy called John Paul, who kind of hangs around with the Sleaford Mods. He's a bit kind of similar.
Oh, right, yeah.
Done work with them. But yeah, I'd love to do more, absolutely. Because I mean, it's so different, you know. You get picked up in a Mercedes from home, you're treated like, you know, you have a trailer and food and coffee being brought in, and then you kind of rock up the set, bit, home again, you know.
I've done support and artist stuff, which is obviously nowhere near kind of stuff you did, and it is amazing watching things be made and how it's made, and just watching people at work in that industry.
Yeah.
It's such an eye-opening thing how even a conversation of two people talking has to be reset because of the cameras, things like that. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, no, it's super.
Can I just quickly go back to what you said about no punchlines in this country, Rich? Because although I don't think there's any punchlines, but there's that thing that they had it once again in The Office. Remember when the camera was on Gervais and he'd have that look?
Yes, I mean, it's a little look.
Do you know what I mean?
It, like not going out, whereas like, you know, Lee Mack is good at what he does. Like this not going out is one line, no. Always a gag, leading up to a gag. Whereas this, like you say, is how you look at the camera, just things like that.
It's quite clever camera work, isn't it?
And just the look at the camera, you can't really teach that, but it's just that little look, which is like.
I was chatting to Charlie at the Fulham game, and I was explaining to him that some of my favourite bits are where he's literally just doing something with his fingers, like running them along the printer or, or something like that. He doesn't have to say
it. But his Kerry's look as well. Kerry got a brilliant look at the camera. Oh, Daisy, just the way she looks at the camera, like that kind of gormless kind of look, you know, like mouth open, is absolutely brilliant.
So in terms of the development of the character, Martin Mucklow, what did, obviously they wrote it for you, but did you have any input in that and developing the voice and that sort of stuff?
Well, I didn't have a kind of clue. The kids, Daisy said, well, why don't you know, we try my dad, because he looks a bit like me, you know. So and I said, she's bald and fat. I said, well, how do you want me to be? And they said, go on YouTube and listen to the police tapes, interview tapes of Fred West.
oh my God.
From The Voice, which is what I did. It was this chilling. He's telling all these horrific things in this kind of very soft, kind of normal burr, you know, and just unbelievable. Yeah. So I wrote a little bit, which was, you know, Bess in the West and all that stuff. And they actually kept that in, so they actually put that in. So that little speech about Fred West, I actually did.
Brilliant.
Not that they gave me any credit for it.
There was a scene in the third series where you're explaining to Kerry, obviously Daisy being your daughter, that you hovered a pillow over her face. Mm. How hard was that to do her? And did you have to give her a big hug and kiss afterwards?
No, they write the lines for me, and some of the lines are bloody disgusting.
How hard it is.
But no, not really. No, we're kind of, Daisy, Charlie and myself very much just kind of switch on. We don't have to kind of get into character or anything like that or feel it. You know, we just kind of do it, you know. So there's no kind of method or anything like that with what we do. So yeah, no, it's just good, and there's quite a lot of ab lib and stuff, things like that, you know. So there's usually about five or six takes, maybe more, and usually one of those is a bit of an ab lib one. So I think those are always kind of fun to do.
And so in the past couple of years, you've gone from, you know, not getting recognised on the street to presumably getting recognised and asking for selfies and all that sort of stuff. How have you coped and adapted to that?
Well, it's very rare that I get asked. Funnily enough, Michael, God bless him, when the first kind of series had come out, and I said to him, because I hadn't had any selfies yet. And I said, how many selfies? This is like March. I said, how many selfies have you had so far? And Siren says, he said, about 200. And he would get stopped all the time. I never get stopped, very, very rarely.
Is this Len?
No, this is, that was Michael, you know, Slugs, who I'm
Slugs.
Oh, Slugs. Got it.
But yeah, I mean, it's really rare. You know, probably once every 3 or 4 months, something like that.
Yeah, but you know why, though, don't you?
People think I'm a bastard. Well,
think you're going to touch them up.
I went to Cheltenham with Charlie once, and we kind of did our separate ways, you know, going doing a few shops and whatever. And we met back up, and he said, oh, some guy came up to me and said, can I have a selfie, Charlie? You know. And as he was doing the selfie, he said, I saw that bloody Martin Mucklow earlier. I wasn't going to ask him the bastard. You know, I think people think that I'm like that in real life, but very, very rarely get stopped. Yeah.
It's a sign of a good actor, isn't it?
I don't think, I don't think people recognize me. People say, oh, I've never seen you smile, you know, so I don't know. It's quite funny. We were doing some training Suffolk. And this woman who was, because I don't say who I am, you know, I'm an actor as well. So she was kind of looking at me odd all the way through. And about three quarters through the day, and I'm delivering the training, she suddenly stands up, points a finger at me, and goes, Martin Mucklow, in a really sensitive kind of bit. So, but it's very rarely get recognized. No, even in, you know, even locally, you know, I think people know who I am, but just don't bother me.
Well, I guess you've got, when I met you 3 weeks ago, I was sort of pleasantly surprised, just because when you see you on screen, you've just got that face. Your face was complete.
Yeah.
So I can understand that.
Yeah.
So your brother, what's Len's real name? I've forgotten.
Trevor.
Sorry.
Trevor Cooper.
Trevor, of course it is. Yeah. So Trevor underwent quite a transformation in series three, and the beard came off, etc. Did they have to talk him into that, or was it something that he wanted to do?
I think he was doing call the midwife at the same time, and he that's how he looked like in Call the Midwife. So they had to do a kind of change the story a bit to have that happen. I think.
Well, it fit perfectly, yeah. Because you know that's episode that centers around Len and him finding love and wanting to transfer money and everything. That was one of my favorite episodes, and it just worked.
Perfect. That was a good one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's quality.
Yeah, superb. Yeah.
Yeah. No. So the last, I mean, every episode from right through from series 1 to 3 have been absolute gold dust for me, and I've enjoyed them so much. And I'm someone like Rich who has watched The Office over and over again. And if there's nothing else on TV, it used to be that I'd switch The Office on or Gavin and Stacey, because my wife likes that as well. But now it's This Country, and I think it's one that's here to stay. You know, on BBC iPlayer or on BritBox or whatever it's going to be. So it's one of those ones that we absolutely love to watch, and you know, very, very well done to you and to your family for getting it commissioned and all that sort of stuff. So thank you very much for this.
Lucy, my eldest, 15, she's literally distraught that that was it. There's nothing more to look forward to watch another one. So I hope there's a film somewhere in the pipeline, because she was literally distraught. She thought her life was kind of over. There's nothing to look forward to now on telly. So
yeah. I mean, there definitely won't be another series. I think they really found it really hard to write. They had very little time to write it. Daisy had been doing David Copperfield and really enjoyed that. You know, the other actors, and the fact that she didn't feel the responsibility because she'd written it. You know, she could just kind of, you know, come in, and they did a lot of ad lib. She absolutely loved that. So suddenly to go from that to be kind of sitting, kind of writing, and have such a short time. And Michael had only died, you know, kind of a couple of weeks before.
Yeah.
Well, less than that, he kind of died as they were writing it. So they had to change the first episode completely, because of that, while grieving for Michael.
Yeah.
And we were kind of, you know, how did the writing go today? Awful, that's all we heard. And they thought that, you know, series three, you know, could be a disaster. They, you know, Charlie was amazed that it turned out as well as it had. But they just feel there's nothing left in the tank.
Well, for me, an obvious thing is a Christmas special in Bristol, visiting the vicar.
They tried a couple of kind of things about doing stuff outside the village, and it never worked. And they kind of filmed bits, and it just so they kind of cut all that stuff, and they just kind of returned to the village. It didn't seem to work, because the obvious thing is doing a road trip or doing something. I think stay never with a film or a special, you know. But I think it will be a few years before. Bit like Gavin and Stacey, it'll be a few years before that happens, I think.
Yeah,
absolutely. So off This Country, what do you actually enjoy watching, Paul? Have you got any sort of things that you enjoy watching on the TV, box sets, old comedies? What was your sort of influences growing up, that sort of thing?
Well, I love The Office, obviously. Growing up, I like the kind of The Return of the Likely Lads is probably one of my favourites. I was absolutely mad on that.
Oh, what happened to you? That's whatever happened to me?
Got the classic Steptoe and Sam, Only Fools and Horses, you know, Dad's Army, you know, just brilliant. You know, just there's always, and I love people like Morecambe and Wise and stuff.
Oh, classic, know, yeah.
Growing up with those, when you only had kind of two or three channels, and every, you know, your parents watched it, and brothers and sisters, you know, it was you know, terrific stuff. So I think that's what we do. We get right in this country is comedy. So that's really, you know, that's, I think as a nation, you know, we've got a sense of humor, and I think the rest of the world.
I think of our comedies, I think of our comedies as well. There's also like a sad, there's always like a sad bit in our comedies as well. It's not all kind of glossy lifestyle.
Yeah.
Everyone, there's like a good, like you've got a royal family. There's always sad bits. And then there's, with our comedies, I think that's the perfect formula, everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in terms of anything that you're watching up to date and on Netflix, and so we do a regular segment on this show where we do recommendations, which we'll come on to now. Is there anything that you're watching at the moment that you're that you'd like to recommend to our listeners?
Oh, blimey. I'm terrible with names. That's the answer. I saw a brilliant Italian film the other night, which was in a kind of very bleak landscape called The Dog Groomer or something like that, or The Groomer.
Right.
That was really...
Is that on Netflix or something?
Netflix, I think, yeah. And a very good French film called Le Plombier, you know, the French for fireman. That was really, really good.
Presumably subtitled.
Yeah, that was superb.
Have you...
Because
Have you watched Tiger?
I think I haven't done the Tiger one. I don't know why. I don't think we do drama brilliantly in this country. I think I much prefer kind of, you know, the American and, you know, stuff like The Wire or kind of European stuff. I just think we're kind of so over the top and obvious, you know, kind of a lot of the drama over here. I don't know why. Just,
did you used to watch The Sopranos, Paul?
Yeah, yeah. You know, all that kind of stuff. I think they're streets ahead of what we do. I don't know.
Yeah.
We just seem to get it wrong. We just kind of, I don't know, you know.
It's very rare that we hit the mark. Peaky Blinders was probably the only thing.
I kind of enjoyed the first series, but then I just thought it kind of went, you know, went off a bit, you know.
Yeah, a bit too much from
my yeah.
How about you, Ian? What's watching at the moment?
Well, I tell you what, my go-to thing is Gavin and Stacey. I know that's a bit weird. It's because my kids are not quite into this country yet. They're sort of just about getting there. But you know, when you really want people to like something, it puts them off, doesn't it? If you know what I mean. So you've got to let it happen naturally.
Yeah,
as a family, we like Gavin and Stacey. And obviously, I'm obsessed with Tiger King at the minute. Right. And I don't know if you've seen it on Netflix.
I've seen the first two so far.
Have you? Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. And I've been doing drawings. I'm even setting up my one of my little mad videos as Joe Exotic, as he does a phone call from prison soon. So keep your eyes peeled on my Instagram for that.
Christ,
I shaved off all my hair now, so I can't.
Yeah, shaved off your beard, started kicking balls about and kitchen rolls and toilet rolls and all sorts. You're
a stone lighter and all.
Fair play. Your Instagram is kicking right off.
Well, the thing is, you know, it's a necessary thing for me because you've got to keep people interested still in the brand.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean? And obviously it's a social thing. And I've got to be honest, with all what's been going on, I've really enjoyed being with the family. It's been really quite settling for me for my mental health actually. And because, you know, and you see what Paul does on his Instagram as well, is a lot of funny things. And also he talks about exercise and nature and all that, which is vital, isn't it? I don't know about you guys, but it's so important, isn't it?
One thing we've all got in common, actually, is we've all sang in our toilets. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about how that came about, Paul?
Yeah, I think we were having a conversation with Ian and Anna, who's kind of managing me. She's based up in Nottingham and kind of in the music industry. And we had a kind of conversation. We just sort of said, yeah, why don't we try this toilet challenge? So we got on the BBC and there was a lot of stuff online, Radio 2 and yeah, it was great. Still, people are still sending stuff in. I think a couple of things went up today. You know, so we got about 60, 70 videos up now. Quite incredible.
That is awesome. Yeah, no, it's something that as soon as I saw you do it and Ian do it, I thought, right, sod it. The world's you know, what have I got to lose? So I just set up the camera and my wife's like, what are you doing?
See, that's the sort of thing. I can still see yours now in my mind's eye because you. I thought, oh, Patch is really good. He's like, yeah, he's, you know what I mean? He was good. I thought, fair play with no backing singers and nothing like that. Whereas
I went a cappella. And
then Rich was giving it some as well.
Yeah, that's the song I always sing when I'm in the pub near the end of closing time. Me and my mate just belt out True by Spandau Ballet. And, that's our go-to song.
Going back to Paul, not blowing smoke up his ass and all that, but he's quite a good performer and he's going to be doing an in-store at the shop, hopefully. Isn't you? Well, you're doing one up in Nottingham,
yeah,
aren't you, Paul?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. No, it's doing one in Nottingham on the a charity event, hopefully, on the 13th, if everything's kind of still all right then. It's
When's that, October, isn't it?
No, that's September. Maybe a bit too soon. That's a charity event. And then we've got a big event in Cirencester on the 19th of December. So we're trying to get a name band. And I'm hoping to reform my band, which packed up 40 years ago. So, yeah, so we'll see. So,
who said that? Who said Jesus?
What sort of music?
We've got to dig up the bass player and the lead guitarist, but hopefully
was it called Foregone Conclusion?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
What sort of music was it?
Pretty shit. No. If we had to a bit jam-ish, we kind of had quite. This was 1975 to 1981. So we had quite a big mod following, you know, from about kind of late 70s. Although we weren't specifically a mod band, but
like power pop, is it?
Yeah, a little bit. God, do you remember that those days? Yeah. But yeah, it was cool. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. So getting the guitar out after all those years, I've written about 3 new songs. So. Quite good. No, I've really enjoyed doing that. That's one benefit of the lockdown, you know.
Yeah. Also, Paul, sorry, I don't know if Patch was going to talk about this, your involvement with the National Children's Football Alliance.
Yeah. So in my kind of spare time, I'm a director of a charity, kind of unpaid director. And everything we do basically revolves around the Flanders Peace Pitch, which is... one of the sites of one of the Christmas Truce football games in 1914.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a pitch there now. And so we bring kids from all around the world to a peace education program. Kids aged 14 to 16. So last year we had 80 kids from 20 countries, including refugee kids based in Belgium. So that's funded, European funding. And also we do an event each year to get kids from outside of Europe. So we had we did a bike ride from Kent University to Menin Gate in Belgium. And we funded 8 kids from the slums in India to come out. So, you know, for them, it was like life changing.
Sounds good.
We were meant to go to Israel this month, and because we twin pitches with the peace pitch all around the world, and we've just twinned a pitch in Israel. So it's a program with Arab and Jewish Israeli kids. So they would have come over as well. So we have a week in September. So we do sports, boys and girls, half boys, half girls, 14 to 16. We do sports, different sports. We do bike rides, we do graffiti art workshops, drumming workshops, they go on war walks, you know, cemeteries, museums. Unbelievable week. They all mix and do lots in the downtime. They play all sorts of different games and get involved. It's just amazing.
Because didn't you and Charlie do a cycle ride to France?
To Belgium, yeah. There was about 15 people, so we did it in a day. I hadn't sat on a bike for 40 years, you know. So about 89 miles or something, I can't remember, yeah.
It's all 40 years ago, isn't it?
Yeah. And Charlie, we're going up a hill, and someone said, because he's hardly ever ridden a bike. It's just some cheap thing from Halfords. And the guy said, do you realise he hasn't changed gear all the way?
Oh my God.
Didn't know how to change gear. And he was just going up hills and the kind of real, you know, where the pedals are going around really slowly and everyone else's feet are whizzing round. Oh, Jesus Christ. But anyhow, he survived it. So.
Yeah, fantastic.
A great course.
Go on, Rich.
Like I said, it's a great course.
Yeah, superb. it's brilliant. Yeah, absolutely love it. Yeah,
brilliant. Okay, all right, guys. Well, I think we're coming to up to the hour mark now. So I think we've gone through some recommendations. Rich, have you got any new rants for us?
Well, I haven't done anything since the last rant, so just not
staying in your rant.
Today, I was trying to work from home today, and it just seems like wherever I go, everyone wants to go where I am. So the dog was in the kitchen, the two girls were in the kitchen, and Kirsten came in the kitchen. It's like, well, I just want to get back to the office where I ain't got being people walking past you with a dog kind of thing, really. So that's my only rant.
Yeah, your dog tip-tapping across the floor. Well, and I think the car, like, the car is the best.
It's like Roy Castle living with me, that dog. Because, well, Roy Castle with four legs, basically. So it's double the taps, basically, isn't it? So... just cut her nails off.
And Lionel Blair.
Well, he was all right, actually. Lionel played a bit of Give Us a Clue. That'd been all right.
Rich, I want to get your opinion on these crooner sessions that Gary Barlow's been doing. Today, it was with Cliff Richard. Have you seen any of those?
As you know, I'm not a big fan of that kind of music, but Cliff would have been all right. I might tune in now. Cliff's back in the scene. But when it was him and Ronan Keating, that's not my kind of... music, is it, Patch? As you well know. So,
yeah, Ronan Keating, NSYNC, you've had a few on there, but yeah, today it was Cliff Richard with "We Don't Talk Anymore."
Christ,
I quite like that song.
And he had Tony Hadley the other night singing a Queen song. That was good.
Well, so neither of them were in Queen, but they were singing Queen songs.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. If you get Damon Albarn, if you get Damon Albarn or Miles Kane, so that I'll tune in.
Very well. Ian, your T-shirt arrived in the post yesterday. I shall get a
nice.
Your T-shirts are great, and if anyone's listening who hasn't got a Longwell Records T-shirt, I very recommend you get on the website and support the local business and have a bloody nice T-shirt off the back of it.
I recommend the Tiz Was one. That's a good looking one.
Yeah, they're all good. Designed by my mate Phil Riley, and I like to save some of the ideas of mine, but he goes mad if I say that. But thanks for having me on, though, lads.
Always a pleasure, mate. You know,
I'm very grateful for, especially with someone like Paul Cooper on at the same time as well, you know.
Paul Martin.
Because he's a good one, mine, and you two are good ones and all. So thank you.
No,
so
thank
much.
You. Yeah. Thank you too. Thanks really for your time. It. You two are taken really out. It's been brilliant.
Brilliant.
Well, anytime, guys. This is episode 104, so we'll have, hopefully this will keep going. We were supposed to do episode 100 live on BBC Radio Bristol, but unfortunately we were doomed from the current
the plague.
So, yeah, but when we do go into the studio, we'll be having phone in, so it'd be great to get you guys back on at some point for a chat there or on a future episode. But you're welcome anytime. Thanks very much, Paul and Ian, for joining us.
Yeah, thanks,
and
guys.
Rich.
Thank you.
Everyone, take care and stay safe.
Yeah. Look after yourselves.